And I'm now joined by Henry Mintzberg, who's Cleghorn Professor of Management Studies at the DeSalt Hills Faculty of Management at McGill University in Montreal, where he's taught for the past 25 years. He is a founding partner of CoachingOurselves.com and has written about and researched managerial work, strategy formation, and forms of organizing. In 2004, he published Managers Not MBAs, in 2007, Tracking Strategies, and in 2009, Managing. He is completing a monograph, Managing the Myths of Healthcare, and is now working on an electronic pamphlet titled Balancing Society, Radical Renewal Beyond Smith and Marx. Welcome to Background Briefing, Henry Mintzberg.
Thank you, Ian.
And the piece that you wrote about a month ago in the Globe and Mail, it turned out to be prescient. I'm sure you're not happy about the results.
No, I'm not particularly happy. For some of us, the lights have just gone out in Canada. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. He gave Stephen Harper, who heads the Conservative Party, gave lots of indications in a minority government that he wasn't exactly the most pleasant person to deal with or the most tolerant person to deal with. But we'll see what happens with power with in Canada, as in the UK or many other places. With a parliamentary system with a majority, you're kind of king for 4 years.
Well, he has for the first time an outright majority, and it's extraordinary to think that the left was split as it was with the new insurgent party on the left winning 102 seats, and the traditional party that's been around forever and it's sort of become brand Canada, if you will, they dropped to 34 seats from 77 seats. The American equivalent, I guess, would be if the Democrats ran somebody that was even worse than Kerry and Mondale and Dukakis combined, and that the Green Party ran a charismatic candidate and even got more votes than them, but the Republicans were able to walk away with the big enchilada.
Yeah, kind of, except you've got a two-party system, and we've got a multiple-party system. So, you know, Harper actually came out of a party called the Reform Party that kind of took over the Conservative Party. So there's lots of parties coming and going here. That part's not unexpected. But the votes were, the key thing is that in some sense the votes were split. I think what actually threw it to the Conservatives, which, by the way, won with 40%, Bush in the first election won with, I think, 48%. And the Liberal Party has actually been declining fairly steadily in the last few elections through, as you mentioned, a terrible choice of so-called leaders. And the current leader, who resigned a few hours ago, is a very famous guy internationally, Ignatieff, who was at Harvard for a long time and so on, a very prominent intellectual. But you don't win elections with prominent intellectuals, at least not that kind of prominent intellectual.
Well, it looks like, though, the Conservatives in Canada were tutored by the Republicans here. They ran a Karl Rove-type campaign. They apparently did extremely well in picking off the so-called, what we call here in the United States, Reagan Democrats, that is, working class Canadians, if you will, managing to get them to vote. You know, I believe they, in Canada they're called the Tim Horton crowd, named after a chain of popular donut shops for working class Canadians.
Right. I think what happened is the party, which is called New, it's not a new party, but it's new in its ascendancy, the New Democratic Party, they're called, just became such a wave that a lot of liberals, who's, you know, fairly center-moderate people, got scared, and enough of them, maybe 5% of them in certain writings, shifted to the Conservatives and put them over the top, because we go by ridings. It's as if we only have a House of Representatives, and the party that gets the most seats in the House of Representatives forms the government. We don't pick a president.
Well, didn't it happen, though, that the right wing, the Republican, I mean, the conservatives were able to use that notion of a far left party taking over to delineate themselves? And to what extent were they able to successfully demonize this new left wing party, the New Democratic Party?
Yeah, I wouldn't describe it that way because the advent of the NDP, the New Democratic Party, was towards the end of the election. So they didn't have a lot of time to demonize them. In fact, some commentators were saying that Harper, for a long time, was sticking to the script and fighting the liberals until he started to realize that that they were coming on strong. So I'm not sure he really demonized the head of the Ignatieff, the head of the Michael Ignatieff, the head of the liberals for 2 years in attack ads. When you say Rove type, that's one of the things that scares us most. We're not that kind of country. We don't go for people like Rove, but they used very much a Rove type. I don't know about this campaign so much, but certainly previously. With those attack ads and everything. It's just not the kind of thing many of us are comfortable with in this country.
But they were able to pin a kind of label on him as an inept liberal, and to some extent maybe he earned that.
Ignatieff? Oh, Ignatieff earned it in spades. But we should mention something. The Liberal Party, like all the parties, have conventions to pick leaders. Ignatieff was not selected as a leader. They had a previous leader who was selected, who was proving inept in his own particular way. And so they just shifted, the backroom guys kind of pushed in Ignatieff. And they've had a tendency over the years with two other prime ministers who failed, one called Turner, one called Martin. They had a tendency, the backroom people in the Liberal Party, to pick establishment types who are absolutely and totally unappealing to the population. And they did this again, except this time they really killed themselves. If you want to look for a conspiracy theory, look for the Conservatives having orchestrated the selection of the head of the Liberal Party. I'm not making that accusation.
Of course. No.
Not beyond. They should have done it if they didn't.
Right. Well, certainly those questions could have been asked about the Democrats choosing, although it happened in a primary, of course, but in the case of the others, long-forgotten faces, Dukakis, etc.
Dukakis was a perfect example. Dukakis took the whole damn election until he stood up and said, what the hell's wrong with being a liberal, Roosevelt was a liberal, but he waded through the whole election, got bashed around by Reagan until he stood his ground.
Right. Well, hence the notion in this country, the right wing are the manly men, that the cowboys, that they've taken the political high ground and confiscated the flag and appropriated the Bible, and they're the true patriots. I don't know what the atmospherics and the personalities were, whether that was played in Canada. But the net result, from what I can tell here, Henry Mintzberg, is that this is a pretty radical government, and that Canada could and has the ability now, since they've got a majority, to move rapidly to the right. And some of the choices here that he's already indicated in his campaign is... he's questioned personal choices about abortion, but not about guns. He's given all companies huge tax cuts. He'd like to move Fox News and replace the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation with a kind of Fox News type operation. And of course, he's very likely to go after Canadian Medicare, if not to try and get rid of it, but to starve it by defunding it.
Yeah, I mean, all these things are possible. No, nobody can say that he's really going to do all this, but all these things are possible. I think the cowboy kind of thing works because, or at least it's pretend cowboys, really. It's theatrical cowboys because...
Like George W. Bush, you mean?
Well, but George Bush, but also Harper is from Calgary, and you know, people closest to him, or many of them, are from there. But this is a coalition or a combination of those guys with a lot of the financial types on the equivalent of Wall Street called Bay Street. And I think there's a kind of cozy relationship now because it was basically Ontario and Toronto, as well as the strong places for this party are Toronto and Alberta. Now they picked up seats everywhere else too, in fair numbers. But you could argue the central strength is a lot of people in the financial community, a lot of the wealthiest people in the country, although they used to be liberal once upon a time, combined with a kind of pretend cowboy culture in the West. Yeah.
Well, it's are we right? And again, let me remind the audience that I'm speaking with Henry Mintzberg, who's a Cleghorn Professor of Management Studies at the DeSalt Faculty of Management at McGill University in Montreal. He's also the author of a recent piece in the Toronto Globe and Mail, Conserving Canada or a Conservative Canada. And I take it that the question of conserving Canada is now up for grabs. The idea, though, that we have of Canada, of being a social democracy, of having health care and having a lot of the virtues that we don't have here, that we have, you know, Obama valiantly tried to get a health care reform through, and, you know, it's become an issue of great contention. But the idea that Canada's gains could be reversed is pretty shocking, even for...
imagine how we feel.
Right.
Not all of us, obviously. Look, there is another thing in mind. I mentioned it earlier. They won 40% of the vote, and the other 60% was pretty solidly against them. But the way your parliamentary system works, they go in. Yeah, no, I mean, it could be very scary for us. You've got Obama, and we're back with Bush. I mean,
well, you know, we're here in California, because we have had minority government forever. I mean, the Conservatives were you suggested in your piece in the Globe and Mail that there are only about 30% of Canada is Conservative. They managed to get an extra 10% of a lot of people defected from the Liberal Party, you said. But here in California, we've had a minority government because of the peculiarities of a proposition that was passed, that where the Republican minority control the legislature, even with a few seats, and in the United States Senate, the Republicans control the Senate through filibuster. So there seems to be a systemic problem here. The people on the left don't know how to exercise and hold on to power, and people on the right are really good at usurping power.
Yeah, I think that's right. They play it much tougher, and they, you know, the carries of the world get kicked around. And, you know, you mentioned at the beginning that I'm working on an electronic pamphlet called The Rebalancing Society, you know, Radical Renewal Beyond Smith and Marx. And that really addresses all these issues in the kind of broadest sense. Because in the broadest sense, what's happened in society, as I see it, is we've got a kind of what I call an unholy coalition of economic dogma, and by the way, Harper's an economist, with corporate entitlement. And the corporate entitlement in the U.S. is far, far worse in terms of corporation interference or involvement in the political process through lobbying and everything else. And that's sweeping through the whole world right now and causing enormous problems, and it's going to come back to roost at some point. And that's what I'm trying to write about.
Well, but the genius of the corporatists and the conservatives in this country is, one, they get working Americans to vote against their interests, and two, they generally distract our polity with irrelevant things like flag burning and abortion and prayer in school. And my understanding is that most social democracies, people are aware of, they vote for the social services that their government gets. Here we don't even consider what we get back for our taxes. All the mantra is we pay too much tax, but there's no sense that you pay your taxes and get your government services. And I thought Canada was also immune, like the rest of the world, from the American model, but it seems like they're not.
I thought so too. I did a piece on the Huffington Post called Getting the Government You Deserve. And I talk mostly about America and the fact that if Americans think government is rotten, then they always get rotten government. And we have good government in the sense of strong civil service. We don't have political appointments deep into the civil service. I hope that will remain, but who knows? So yes, it's shocking that we've joined that club. In fact, I haven't gone through every kind of Western democracy, but I would guess we're the most right-wing country now in the of the main developed countries.
That would and would that be more right wing than America under George W. Bush?
No, not necessarily. Maybe close, but America happily is not still under George W. Bush.
And that's true.
England has a pretty the UK has a pretty moderate conservative coalition, and Germany is pretty moderate, and France is pretty moderate. They're all conservative, but they're all pretty moderate. Not here.
Well, Lord save us from lily-livered liberals, I say.
I guess that's probably a good way to put it.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Henry Mintzberg, who is Cleghorn Professor of Management Studies at the DeSalt Faculty of Management at McGill University in Montreal, where he's taught for the past 25 years. He's a founding partner on CoachingOurselves.com and has written about and researched managerial work, strategy formation, and forms of organizing. In 2004, he published Managers, Not MBAs, 2007, Tracking Strategies, and in 2009, Managing. He's completing a monograph, Managing the Myths of Healthcare, and is now working on an electronic pamphlet titled Balancing Society, Radical Renewal Beyond Smith and Marx.